Well, we've been studying through the book of Mark, and we took the last couple of weeks to look at the achievements of the cross and what it is that was accomplished as Christ was crucified upon the cross. We will be looking next week at Christ's burial, and the following week will be Easter, and we'll be looking at the resurrection. So Easter is just right around the corner, and don't forget, we'll have Good Friday service here on Friday before Easter. The first week, 2 weeks ago, we looked at the achievements of the cross and looked at just some of the details as far as what it is that occurred when Christ died upon the cross for us. We think about his death upon the cross and we think of what that means for us, but to be able to look at several verses that show us that it was at that time that God was showing us the extent of his love for us, showing us that you and I will never, ever have to experience eternal death. We've been justified by his blood. That is what took place as he was upon the cross. Saved from his wrath. Reconciled to him. Made righteous. Dead to the law. The implications of that. We're married to Christ. He's made it so we are now able to bear fruit to God. No longer can we be condemned. He makes intercession for us. We're no longer our own. We were bought by God. We were purchased by him, by the cross. We're not still in our sins. The sting of death has been removed. And you start to think about the implications and just look and think, all of these things made righteous, sting of death removed, delivered from this evil age. He lives in us. We live by faith in him. He redeemed us. He adopted us as sons. He's made it so our only boast could be in the cross. We have forgiveness of sins. We've been made alive in Christ. It was a sweet-smelling aroma to the Father. We have peace with God. We're no longer alienated or enemies with God. We're now holy and blameless and above reproach. Handwriting of the law has been wiped out. It was nailed to the cross. We now can live with him forever. He's our mediator. He purified us. He made it so that we'd be zealous for good works. The devil was destroyed in the sense of his power. And we could approach God's throne with boldness. We look at that and we think the implications of the cross for us, it changes everything for us, doesn't it? You look at what took place and you think, wrath gone, reconciliation taken place, law gone, righteousness placed upon our account. Amazing. Alive with Christ, dead to sin, crucified with him. And last week we looked at the implication of what it meant to be crucified with Christ. And the fact that we are crucified with him and it's no longer us who lives but Christ in us. And it makes it so there's the desire and the possibility for holiness. And for us to realize that we are crucified with him, it should change things for us. We died with him. Why would we ever live for the things that he died for ever again? We died. We died to that. We are crucified with him. And over the last week, I've been looking at what it is as far as future and the way that we ought to respond to these things as far as our praise. In Revelation chapter 4, we look and John gives us details in chapter 4 where he tells us that in the beginning of chapter 4, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and a voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here and I'll show you the things which must take place after this. So he gets taken up and he says, okay, come with me. I'm going to show you the things that are going to occur. Something that will occur still future, but something that, as sure as God has said it, we know that it will occur. And John says, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, there was a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, and the appearance like an emerald. He says that around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. You picture this, and it's just what an awesome scene that John's experiencing, isn't it? He gets caught up. He gets to be able to see what's going to take place, but he sees this throne and rainbow around the throne, and him who sat there looked like just a jewel in his appearance. Lightnings and thunderings coming from the throne. Friday was pretty awesome for us around here, wasn't it? To hear that thunder, see that lightning, hail like crazy. It's like 10 o'clock at night, and I took little Jonathan out there at 3 years old, and he's running around in the hail. And then the lightning came, and he was like, and then the thunder hit, and you could just see like just terror in his face. It was just like shook his bones. But you think about that, and you think just that lightning and that thunder coming from the throne. And John's just saying, I saw it. Before the throne, there was this sea of glass. It looked like crystal. And he tells us that there's these four living creatures in verse 8, each having six wings and full of eyes around and within, and that they didn't rest day or night, but they were saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Awesome, isn't it? It's four living creatures, and they just don't ever stop. And they're looking at him who's like a jewel upon that throne and just saying, holy, holy, holy. It's the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come, praising him. And it tells us whenever these creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and they worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne and they say, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. And so John's watching this. He says, these four living creatures say, holy, holy, holy. And then there's these 24 elders that are there, and they just fall down before the throne. They just fall down. And they take their crowns and they cast them before the throne, and they just say, you're worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. By your will they exist and they were created. What an awesome statement, isn't it? It's by your will that they exist. Everything that is here is by your will that they exist, and it's by your will that they were created. You created all of it, and you're worthy. You're worthy to receive glory and honor and power. And then we come to chapter 5. And he says, and I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. So he looks, and as he looks upon him who was on the throne, he sees in his right hand the scroll. It's written on the inside, on both sides of the paper, meaning that it is fully contained with writing. And he says, and then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, saying, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. This angel, this strong angel, we're not told which angel it is, but it's a strong angel, John says. Strong angel is proclaiming, and the word proclaiming is used in the tense of keeps proclaiming. With a loud voice, he says to where throughout the entire universe, what is being heard is, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? Who's worthy? Keeps proclaiming it to where everybody is hearing it, every angel. All of the angels, the 10,000s times 10,000s and thousands and thousands of angels. Every powerful angel that has worked throughout history. Every saint that has ever lived up until that particular point. All of the people that you read about in the Bible. Proclaiming who's worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals. Who's worthy? But there was no one. Like literally just dead silence. And he keeps proclaiming it with a loud voice to where it's loud. They're hearing it. Who's worthy? And there's just silence. Just absolute silence through heaven. And John says, so I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. A scroll holding the title deed to the universe. And he's looking at it and he's saying, there's no one that's worthy. And John tells us, I just started to weep much. Tears are literally flowing from his eyes because he sees all of this taking place. He hears the angel saying, who's worthy to take the scroll, to open it? Who's worthy? And he's looking, and there's no one saying anything. And he knows that salvation, eternity, God's judgment upon the earth, and the title deeds to the universe is dependent upon, is there anybody that is worthy to open the scroll? And he just says, I just wept. Because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, one of these 24 elders comes down, sees John just weeping, and he says, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. Don't weep. Don't weep, man. Get up. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. A prophecy that was given, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, that came and revealed a description of the Messiah. Don't weep, John. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, he's prevailed to open the scrolls and to loose its seven seals. He can do it. Why can he do it? Look at verse 6. He says, and I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain. Awesome. He's saying, I'm looking, and he just hears this about the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he had to be looking, thinking, where's the lion? And he's looking, he says, and by the throne there, in the midst of the living creatures and the elders, there stood a lamb as though it had been slain. The crucified Christ. He's not there, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as far as coming where John's looking and is just majesty. You see Christ appearing there, and as he's looking, he sees him, and he looks like a lamb. He still has the scars. You remember when he said to Thomas, put your fingers in, the scars in my hands are in my side. Don't be unbelieving, but believing. And there as John's looking, he sees Christ there. Like a lamb that had been slain. And so when this voice is going out to everybody saying, who's worthy? Who's worthy? John looks and he says, I saw he was like a lamb there by the throne. Living creatures, elders are all around. And he was having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Now, picturing this lamb with seven eyes and seven horns. But the word seven is a number of completeness. Seven is always referred to in Scripture as a number of completeness. And the point here is he has seven horns, meaning it was the horn that represented the power. And he's saying he's all powerful. He's a lamb as though he was slain, but he is all powerful. And he has seven eyes, meaning he sees all things, he knows all things. He's all powerful and he is all knowing. Which are the seven spirits of God sent down into the earth, that picture of the Holy Spirit. And just not only that, but he is at all places, at all times. It's a picture of deity here as he's looking at this lamb that's there before the throne. And then he came and he took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Awesome. All this is taking place and they're looking and John says, I saw it all taking place. He went and he goes up to the throne to God the Father and he takes the scroll out of God the Father's right hand. Takes it. And now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. And you have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, for we shall reign on the earth." They start singing. These 24 elders, which represent those of us within the church with their white robes and all, they each have a harp, and they fall down before the Lamb. They just fall down. This picture of just incredible worship taking place. They fall down. And they have their harps and they're there and they're just playing their harps. And they're saying, "You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy to take the scroll. You're worthy to open its seals. You're the only one in this entire universe who is worthy to do it, because you were slain." He's there like a lamb as though it had been slain. And John's watching this take place, and he just says, they just started singing, falling down and singing, saying, "You're worthy. You're worthy because you were slain." Christ Jesus, our Lord, slain. When we picture all of the accomplishments of Christ upon the cross, removing our wrath, taking all God's wrath that was coming upon us, taking all of our sins upon himself, making us alive, giving us his righteousness. All that took place upon the cross, and we look and we say, the implications for that makes it so he owns a title deed to the entire universe. And we will praise him. This change that takes place within John, going from weeping greatly, he tells us, because that's what you and I would be doing if it wasn't for the Lamb that was slain. If it wasn't for the cross, being before God and saying, "Who is worthy to take the scroll and to open it, and nobody's coming before you and I," we would just weep. because we'd be hopeless. We'd be in a place where we would just start, tears would just flow and start flowing, like, how could we be before him based upon the fact that we are sinners? And to be able to see him take that scroll from God's right hand and to open it, the response is just falling down before him. That is what we will see in heaven. And the response is, worthy. You're worthy. You are slain. You've redeemed us to God by your blood. They're looking at him as a lamb there before the throne, and they're just saying, you purchased us by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, you bought us. Whether we were here in Southern California or whether we were in Southern Sudan or Hainan Island, China, or out in the areas of Vietnam or South America, tribal guy that's there in Ecuador that got saved as a result of the missionaries coming down there. A cannibal who killed someone like Jim Elliot, and you look at it, you bought us. You bought us. What an incredible verse on missions here, isn't it? Out of every tribe, out of every tongue, out of every people, out of every nation. And you could just picture these elders there, and they're playing their harp, and they're before him, and they're looking at there saying, every tribe. You made your own special people, but it came from every tribe and every people, every language, every nation, all of us. We're here together, and we just bow before you, and we play our harps, and we sing, you are worthy. And it's because you were slain. You purchased us. You've made us kings and priests to our God. You remember looking back where the veil was torn in two, as we looked at it about 4 weeks ago. And the joy of being able to now approach his throne boldly. It's no longer the high priest that's able to approach him boldly, or not so boldly, but approach him once a year. But we, all of us, are able to approach him because he made us kings and priests to our God. He did that. And so you look at this, and it's just, and they say, we shall reign on the earth. Look at what you did for us. He says, then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands and thousands. Myriads and myriads. The word that's used here as far as 10,000s, it's the highest number that they had in the Greek, because they didn't have, it wasn't like, they wouldn't say millions, because they never had a reason to count to a million. And so their word is, it's the highest that they could use. And so John's saying, I'm looking, and it was just myriads and myriads. I'm looking at these people. I'm looking, and I hear the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And I'm looking at this mass of people, and it's in angels, and it's 10,000s times 10,000s and thousands and thousands. Is that awesome or what when you picture it? And all of them together are saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. 10,000 times 10,000 of these angelic beings are there. We're told that they're there with the elders and four living creatures, and they're saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who is slain." All of their praise as they're falling before him is geared towards, "You were the Lamb that was slain, and we will praise you." I mean, literally with everything that is inside us, we will just fall down and play our harps, and we will praise you. You are worthy to receive all the power and all of the riches and all of the wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. It is all unto you. And the number there is 7. You deserve it all. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, John said, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. All of them. John says, I'm looking at this and every creature that's in heaven, all of them, everyone that's on the earth, everyone that's under the earth, everyone that is in the sea, all of them, all of creation. It's just awesome. Think of scriptures that say things like Psalm 98, where it says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp. With the harp and the sound of a psalm. With trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar in all of its fullness. The world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth with righteousness. He shall judge the world and the peoples with equity. This picture is, shout joyfully to the Lord. Holy Spirit inspired it because we see it there in Revelation chapter 5, don't we? A joyful shout to the Lord. It's a loud voice in which they're singing these things and saying these things. And the Holy Spirit inspires the psalmist to write, shout joyfully to him. All the earth, break forth in song. Rejoice, sing praises, sing it with the harp. It's going to happen. You'll see it later on. There'll be a harp there. Do it now. With trumpets. Let the sea roar and let the rivers clap their hands. Awesome, just the sound of it and God saying, just let it happen. It's just, it's praise unto him. All of the creatures looking in, it's just all of the attention is fixed upon the Lamb that was slain. I took Jonathan and Natalie to the Pacific Aquarium up in Long Beach this week. Awesome. So many fish that are there. You get to pet the little sharks that don't bite you. I saw this, these things, they're like this big. It's some kind of like sea weed dragon of some sort. So awesome looking. It looks like this little dragon that made up seaweed. It just swims and it's so cool looking. Sea otter swimming down. I mean, you watch all these things take place and it's just... It is amazing to see how incredible our God is as he created all the things. And you picture it, and I love when I look on and they say, oh, we found this many new species this year. They haven't even found them all. go down to the depths of the sea and there's these octopus that are just ridiculously large that people don't see. Look, and I just think all of them are there. It just tells us, and they're just, it's just praising him. But all of us together, we're saying blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. That's us. The result of the cross, the achievements of the cross, make it so forever and ever, you and I, as those who have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ upon the cross, the Lamb that was slain, you and I will just joyfully fall down before him and shout for joy and sing praises to him with the harp and all, and just sing to him saying, you're worthy. You're worthy. You get all the blessings and honor and glory and power. All of it goes to you. Every amount of joy and thankfulness that comes into our heart, it is all directed towards you. All the praise that could ever come from our lives is all directed towards you. And I will forever and ever be there before you, before the throne, and there will be so much joy inside my heart as I fall down before you and praise you because you are the Lamb that was slain. It means everything to us. Our salvation is totally based upon the fact that Christ died for us, our sins upon himself, his righteousness coming to us. It's not just something where we look at and we're like, I'm a Christian. Can't respond like that, can you? When you look at what it is that we will be doing, there's no reason why we ought not to be doing it now, as the psalmist says. Is there? You look at it and you say, right now, what should be taking place in my heart and coming forth from my life is loud praise unto him, saying all the glory, all the honor, all the power belongs to you. All of it. And it says, then the four living creatures said, amen. Amen. These four living creatures are watching this all take place, and they hear all of that said, and they just say, amen to that. What do we say to that this morning? Amen. We look at this and we say, and that is right. Amen. So be it. It is all right. That is the way that we all ought to respond. It says, then the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. And they just fall down again and they worship him. Worship him. I look at this and I pray that we would be a people who worship him. Do you hear over and over again here that there is just passion as they sing these things to him? Towards the end of Revelation in chapter 19, he says that he goes, after these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven. A loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, hallelujah. Salvation and glory and honor belong to the Lord our God. Hallelujah. Salvation, it all belongs to him. But you get a picture over and over again where it is a loud voice that comes forth. A loud voice of praise. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. A voice comes from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. And he said, and then I heard, as it were, a voice of a great multitude and the sound of many waters and the sound of mighty thundering saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. That is awesome. Isn't that awesome? First Sunday of Reverence Bible Church, September 4th, 5.5 years ago. When I was looking at I preach on for the first Sunday of Reverence Bible Church, the heart behind our church and the way that we ought to be, the text that I picked was, there was a voice of a great multitude, sound of many waters, the sound of mighty thundering saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. I love that text. I picture us in heaven and we're together, and when we start singing and praising him, what comes forth from our mouths together like thunder is hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigns. He is our Lord, he is our God, he is all powerful, and he is in control of all things, and he reigns. And we praise him. Awesome. I look at this and I would say, God help us to not look upon the achievements of the cross and have it do something in our hearts that causes weak praise. If that's the case, we missed it. If we look at the achievements of the cross and say, no wrath, gone, placed upon Christ, no sting in death ever again, no sins on my account, I'm justified, I'm made righteous, I'm made alive, I've been adopted into his family, I've been made his bride, I'm married to him, I get to spend eternity with him with joy. It means everything to me. I look at what it is that I deserved. I look upon the cross and I say he accomplished all of it for me upon the cross. The natural response for us, if we see these things and if we understand the depths of our sin, our response is going to be something that comes like a loud praise to him saying, worthy is the lamb that was slain. All glory, all honor, all power belongs to you. I'll fall down before you. I don't care if it's not dignified. I will do it. I will praise you with all that is within me. I'll praise you. I'll be like the psalmist that shouts joyfully to the Lord, that breaks forth in song, that rejoices and sings praises with the harp and with trumpets, that I would joyfully praise him because of what it is that he's accomplished, coming forth from our hearts like thundering. You see, what he took place on the cross is not something that's small. Do you get the idea? These angels are not up there going like, yeah, it's pretty good, I guess. None of that has taken place. It's praise. It is praise. There is a sweetness in the praise. He's redeemed us to God by his blood. And we'll praise him for that. We'll now sing three songs of praise. You look at passages like this and they say in verse 9, they sang a new song. They sang a new song, a song that had never been sung. They sang a new song to the Lord. And so it's not bad for us to sing the songs that we sing. They're new songs. But think of the words to the songs. Just even the first stanza of the first song. All glory in my Redeemer, whose priceless blood has ransomed me. Mine was the sin that drove the bitter nails and hung him on that judgment tree. All glory in my Redeemer, who crushed the power of sin and death, my only Savior before the holy judge, the Lamb who is my righteousness. You could picture them even singing this in heaven, can't you? You could picture us being there before the Lamb, before the throne, the Lamb as though he had been slain, saying, the Lamb is my righteousness. It's the Lamb. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I pray that we would see your achievements upon the cross and that the result would be heavenly praise. Help us never to look upon the cross and respond with lukewarmness or half-hearted praise. I pray that this glimpse of what it's like when we're before your throne and seeing the response of the living creatures, the four living creatures, and the 24 elders, and the 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of angels, of all of the saints, of every living creature, both small and great, as we look at all of their response and all of it being centered upon the Lamb that was slain and how you're worthy to receive all glory and all honor and all power, and the loud voices that come forward as they praise you, I pray that that would be what takes place in our hearts when we praise you. Give us a glimpse of it as you did with John. And may it impact us. The achievements of you, Lord, upon the cross are so great that we ought to respond now the way we know we will forever in heaven. Our sins placed upon you, your righteousness placed upon us, all by faith in you and your work upon the cross. Awesome. And so we praise you now in spirit and in truth and with all that is within us. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.